All right, I want to mention this before we turn to 1 Corinthians 14, or as you're turning, 1 Corinthians 14. I meant to mention it earlier, and I didn't. It's probably kind of better because he's not in here right now, but Pastor Chad is really a blessing, and I do appreciate him. I know I mentioned already, I thank you for the way you gentlemen jumped on board to help out with getting his move, and it means a lot to me. It encouraged me, and it wasn't even about me. I wasn't the one moving. But really, you know how the Bible says you got to have a good report of them that are without, right? And he actually, he won't tell most of you, but he mentioned it to me the other day. He won, first of all, what was it, honey, Lansing? He was the civilian of the year, and on his job, wasn't it? Christy's not in here either. Do you remember? Right, I know it was, first of all, it was Lansing, and it was civilian of the year, and I think 80% of the employees at his place are civilians who works for the Lansing Met. I think that's what he said the number was, but the vast majority are civilians. He got civilian of the year, and then he got a regional win, was the second one, as civilian of the year, and now he's actually just got interviewed last week as the Eastern segment, I guess, and he is competing now against the other winners in their area to be the civilian of the year on a much larger scale at this point. You know what, Brother Josh, you'd know. You worked there too. How did I get it right? How did it go? And the only reason he's not competing against you right now is because you're still new there. But in the years to come, it's going to be a little tougher to get, right? Amen. I wanted to make that clear. Amen. But what a blessing, man. And, you know, it's just a great testimony. And he said, you know, he was on, I think, a conference call. He had his bosses there and on a conference call, if I got it correctly, with some of the other, you know, big shots. And they said, well, tell us a little about yourself. And he just went right into a salvation testimony. You know, my life was a wreck. I got saved and met Christ. He turned things around and just gave the Lord the glory. And one of the guys on the phone said, well, praise the Lord, another brother. I'm a born-again Christian too. And, you know, that's just a blessing, man. My preacher told me, he said, if you ever plan on being in the ministry, you first need to prove to yourself, to God, and to everybody else that you can not only be successful in a regular job like everybody else, but enjoy it. Amen? It's a lot easier to have compassion on people who come in on Wednesday night grouchy if you know how it feels to be wore out after work and drag yourself into church. Amen? So, and I appreciate his testimony. I appreciate his work ethic. And I figured you need to know that. It's a real blessing to me, and that's a good testimony for our church. And I'm very, very thankful for it. And not to mention the fact that today he's been here a little over 3 years. And he's been the associate pastor for about 2 years, and he's downstairs right now teaching your kids. Sunday school, junior church. And I've never heard, man, I'm a pastor. I'm an associate pastor. I shouldn't be down there teaching kids. There's better things for me to be doing. Never heard a word about it. Just, I said, hey, brother, we could really use you and Sister Christy in there again if you don't mind. No problem. And he gets down there and puts his heart into it. He prepares. He does a good job. And just haven't heard not a word about it from him. In a negative sense. And I just appreciate him. And I appreciate you coming out and ministering to him like you did, gentlemen. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. But he that prophesieth edifieth the church. I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. Let's pray. Father, we love you this morning. And I'm so thankful for the Word of God. I thank you, Lord, that this book in front of me clears up a lot of confusion. And I pray this morning, Lord, that you would help us. Lord, that you'd help us to get a clear understanding from the Word of God about our spiritual gifts and about how we're to use them. And Lord, specifically today, we're going to spend a little time looking at this issue of tongues that is a quite confusing issue in the day and age we live in. I pray that you'd give your people here a clear understanding of, Lord, what we believe about that, what the Bible teaches about it. And not just so that they can go and argue with others, but that they can just be strong in their doctrine and understand the Scriptures. But Lord, more importantly than that, I pray that you'd help us with our motives as we seek spiritual gifts, as we study these spiritual gifts. Help us to desire spiritual gifts. But Lord, I pray that you'd give us the wisdom and the right heart to have the right motive for why we want those gifts. I pray that you'd build up in this church ministers of Jesus Christ, not necessarily full-time and all that stuff, Lord, but people who truly want to minister to one another. God, I want this church to be a place that's pleasing in the eyes of God. I want these people to love you, to love one another, to love their families. Lord, to truly get fed and helped from the preaching here at this church. Lord, use me, I pray, to edify the brethren, to edify the church this morning as this passage teaches us. And if you'll do that, Lord, I'll give you the praise, honor, and glory that you deserve. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you'll notice chapter 14 starts out saying, follow after charity. And if you were here last week, we discussed charity at length. Charity's in chapter number 13, and it's clearly laid out for us. And it's interesting where the Holy Spirit inserted that chapter, because chapter 12 is what began us into the spiritual gifts. And we looked at that 2 weeks ago. And we kind of looked mostly at the word of wisdom, and we skipped over some of the other ones because, sure enough, we're going to deal with those today. So when we came to chapter number 13, we kind of had a little bit of a parenthesis and stopped and discussed charity and what we should be as Christians. Charity is not a spiritual gift. Charity is a way. Paul said at the end of that, at the end of chapter number 12, yet I show unto you a more excellent way. And we discussed that in detail last week. But you'll notice here in chapter number 14, as we begin into the gifts and as Paul begins to straighten out the Corinthian church in an area that they were very messed up in, and that area was the gift of speaking in tongues. They were extremely obsessed with this gift, and it was a very commonplace gift in that church. And the Apostle Paul now weighs into him here, and he's trying to help them get their mind straightened up and get a proper understanding and application of the gift of tongues. But before he even gets into that, he says, follow after charity. So Paul goes back and kind of replows that ground again and tries to get their mind straightened up, saying, now listen, desire spiritual gifts, but before that, he says, follow after charity. Don't forget what I said in chapter 13. Christians, you and I ought to be people who follow after charity. You ought to be more obsessed with becoming a charitable Christian than a gifted Christian. We saw last week that charity comes by way of great pain. Amen. I mean, you look at the definition of charity, it suffereth long and is kind. So when God allows suffering in your life, when God allows pain in your life, He allows it in your life so that He can develop something in you that is more precious than gold, and that is charity. So embrace the pain in your life, because God will use it to make you a charitable Christian. Charity is something that comes to us when we go without. Charity envieth not. Well, why would I envy? Because somebody has something that I don't have. So sometimes when you feel like you're going without and you're a little upset about an area in your life that seems to be lacking and you're frustrated with your financial situation or whatever else it may be, remember, God is using that to develop some Christian charity in your life. So you should say, look, I might not have it like I like it, like I want it, but you know what? I'm going to keep the right attitude anyhow. Now you're becoming charitable. Charity has humility. It vaunteth not itself. So when you seem and feel like you're put down and like you're put beneath what you actually are and you don't like the humiliation of your situation, remember God's using that to develop some charity. The boss shouldn't talk to me like that. How many of you have had a boss who talks to you like they shouldn't talk to you? You're developing charity. Amen. Problem is, we don't handle it right, so we don't grow. Develop some charity. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly. That kid just frustrates me. He frustrates me. She frustrates me. All right, God's trying to develop some charity in you because charity doesn't behave inappropriately. You learn to control yourself in situations. You see how God uses all these things we don't like that are negative and uncomfortable for us to develop us as Christians if we'll walk with God? Follow after charity. You know what we need in the church? Some very charitable people. I want gifted people, don't you? There's nothing like listening to somebody sing who can sing beautifully. Nothing like listening to somebody play a piano who can play beautifully. There's nothing like listening to somebody preach and you just say, man, God is on that guy. God's all over him. I love to hear him preach. I love to hear him teach. And I just enjoy listening and I get fed. And that's all great. Some gifted people. I like it when my kids get in the car after church and start talking about what their teachers were doing. And they're happy and they're excited. And that does happen here at this church. And I'm very thankful for it. I like having gifted people around me. Amen. By the way, if you're sitting back there with a gift and you don't want anybody to know, come out of your shell a little bit, will you? Some people might be able to benefit from your gift. Amen. Amen. But you know what's more important than gifted people? Charitable people. Charity suffers long, is kind, envies not, vaunts not itself, not puffed up, not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Now follow after charity. Boy, that's so negative. And then he says, desire spiritual gifts. Now let's look at the spiritual gifts in verses 1 through 5. It is not wrong for you to desire some spiritual gifts. He says, desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. So he says, there's all some spiritual gifts you should desire, but rather the better ones is that ye may prophesy. Why is prophesying better? He that speaketh in an unknown tongue, verse 2, speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit he in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. Paul says to desire spiritual gifts and desire the better gifts. The better gift here would be prophecy. You know why a lot of times people desire spiritual gifts? Verse number 2, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth it, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. Verse number 2 shows you that when somebody is speaking in tongues, Paul says oftentimes you are being very selfish about your gift. You realize a lot of times people desire spiritual gifts for their self. You know what the motive a lot of time for spiritual gift is? Right here. Hey, you know, I can do X, Y, and Z. So what? So can a million other people. Now what do you want, a cookie? Really? Why should you desire spiritual gifts? If you've been following after charity, you'll desire spiritual gifts for the right reasons. You see, there's a motive behind why we do what we do that makes what we do truly blessed of God. I want to be truly blessed of the Lord. That blessing is something you cannot see. That blessing does not mean I get up in front of everybody and I preach and everybody says, wow, that was a great message. I've heard lots of great preachers that just don't have the pop. The pop comes from God. The power behind what we do comes from the Lord. And the Lord awards and rewards men in that way when their motive is right for why they're doing what they do. We ought to have some people who have spiritual gifts, but not for the sake of the individual that has the gift. Wrong motive. You know, so many times in churches, the problems come because it's like, that's my piano. You know, I thank the Lord as a church for the piano God gave the church. So everybody got a piano today. Praise the Lord. If you're a member of this church, you got a piano. Isn't that neat? Amen. That's right. You know why we do what we do? We have three different teachers in the Sunday schools and they take a month on and 2 months off. You know why? Because I've heard it 100 times in my history in church, which is my entire life. Well, that's my Sunday school class. I've been teaching that class for 25 years. I changed your parents' diapers, kid. So what? That ain't your Sunday school class. You realize I share this pulpit more than most any preacher I know with men in this church? A threat to me? I share my pulpit more than most any preacher I know. As the Lord leads me, I say, hey, brother, why don't you preach? You want to preach? You ready to preach? Pastor Chad will say, hey, the Lord showed me something the other day. And you know what? That's my cue. And he doesn't mean to do that. But I recognize if God gave him something, why doesn't he share that with the church? He's called to preach. You realize I'm the pastor, and I'm not saying that I'm not. I'm just saying, folks, you know what it's all about? It's not all about me and my recognition. It's all about you and the body of Christ. We rotate people out on purpose. I've had people actually get angry at me and get so mad that they leave the church when I say, listen, I appreciate what you're doing. You're not getting a demotion. You're not getting fired. There's somebody else here who has that same ability and talent, and they need to have some time to develop that talent. Would you take turns with so-and-so? Oh, really? Well, you know, the Lord's been laying it on our heart for a while that we need to leave, and I guess that's our cue. I guess it is. Amen. Look, nothing that we do is for us. You realize that? I'm a good Sunday school teacher. Praise the Lord. That's not for you. Well, I can preach. Praise the Lord. It has nothing to do with you. Well, I can sing. Praise the Lord. It has nothing to do with you. Well, I can teach a lesson. That's great. It has nothing to do with you. You know what it has to do with? Everybody else around you. God puts gifts inside of us so he can use us to speak to everybody else, to help everybody else. Verse number 3, he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. God says, I want other people edified, exhorted, and comforted by what I allow you to do. He said in verse number 2, hey, you speak to yourself and you speak to God, and that's all wonderful, and I'm so happy for you, but the gifts I put in you are not all about you. They're all about everybody else. Our desire ought to be to serve other people. That's hard, folks. That runs exactly contrary to your human nature, doesn't it? My human nature says, take care of Mike. Amen. Survival of the fittest, and I'm getting fit so I can survive. Amen. That runs exactly contrary to my nature. But my mind in the spirit and my mind as a man called of God to preach as a born again Christian has got to change. I got to recognize that I need to make sure that my gift is being utilized to help somebody else out. You say, well, preacher, how do I get there? Let me tell you what the Lord will do for you if he's put a gift in you. You know what the Lord will do for you because he's so good? He will humiliate you. He'll humiliate you. You want your gift to be used of God? Lord, I realize that you put something in me and I want to know what it is if you don't. But Lord, I want you to use me. Okay. God will humiliate you. Think about the Apostle Paul. God puts a thorn in his flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet him, lest he what? Be exalted above measure. So God humiliates him. Paul beseeches the Lord 3 times and the Lord says, nope, I'm not taking it away. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Stay down so God could use him. You know what happens to us? We get a gift from the Lord and God gives us something. That's wonderful, ain't it? And we start thinking that it's us and not God. Look back at 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. Look at verse number 7. For who maketh thee to differ from another? Whoa, wait a minute. I'm the pastor. That's right. I got the office. Nobody else around here has that. Okay, who made you to differ? Are you different? I hope everybody's a little different from everybody else. I really do. I don't want a church of robots. I hate that stinking cultish stuff. We all dress the same way, walk the same way, talk the same way. That's ridiculous. You ought to be different. So are you different? Do you have some abilities somebody else doesn't have? I hope you do. Okay, so who made you to differ? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it? You know what Paul's telling them? All right, who made you to differ? Okay, well, I guess the answer to that is the Lord. All right, so you got an ability, you got a gift. That's great. I'm happy for you. Who gave it to you? Well, I guess the Lord. So then why are you getting all wrapped up in your head like you're something special? And like you're owed something, and like everybody ought to recognize you when God gave it to you, you're acting like you developed it on your own. You didn't. God gave it to you. You see, the right attitude, the right desire for spiritual gifts is backed by the proper motive. We got to recognize that God gave us a gift. Folks, listen, God has given you something that you can use to help everybody else in this church. You realize that? I am tremendously helped by Pastor Chad. I am a better pastor because of him. The billboard project, it wouldn't have got done without him. Oh, Brother Reagan, I got a text this week, a very kind text from a pastor. Thank you for your leadership and oversight in this. And hey, they're raising money to put up another, they're raising another $500. I didn't say anything about it to put up another billboard sign. That's neat. They're supposed to be collecting it today. Very kind message thanking me for, and I appreciated it. It was kind of him. But you realize that wouldn't have got done without Pastor Chad? You see, folks, God puts different puzzle pieces together. And I believe every one of you here this morning, every one of you, is a puzzle piece that make this whole thing roll. You realize somebody's out here every Saturday opening the doors and letting people in to clean the building? And I don't even know who's cleaning unless I go down and look at the list. And half the time that's wrong because somebody couldn't make it. Somebody else had to replace them. And so they got swapped with that week and the other week. And that's all happening and going on. Light bulbs are going out and they're being replaced. You know what happens? The wheels just turn because everybody has their little gift and their little spot where they plug in and things get done. We come in here, we sit down, enjoy the service and leave, but don't realize that there's a list of ladies who are down there with a bunch of screaming, fighting, snotty-nosed, diaper-pooping brats. And I mean, wonderful little children, amen? And they're suffering through this thing, so you can sit in a nice, quiet environment and pay attention and enjoy the service. You know, those are all gifts. God puts those in us. But what's the whole point? Don't forget, the whole point is you are being used of God to edify, exhort, and comfort somebody else. Isn't it crazy how we get so wrapped up in our own world? We can't see past the nose on our own face. And God's expectation for us as spiritual gifts is to help somebody else out. Look at verse number 4. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied, for greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret that the church may receive edifying. You know what Paul says? He says this, there's a gift of speaking with tongues. I would that you spake with it. Paul said, hey, I wish you all spake with tongues. But rather, more so than that, I wish you'd all prophesy so that the church could be edified and helped. You realize God puts a gift in us, right? We've discussed that already. Now, I'm called to preach, right? That's definitely no doubt about that. I know that's my gift is to preach and teach the Bible. Okay? I can sit back and say, well, God called me, so I'm just going to get up and we'll see what the Lord has for us today. The Bible says, open thy mouth wide and I'll fill it. I've heard preachers say that. Yeah, with your foot, you idiot. You know what I do? I recognize God put a gift in me. Matthew chapter 25, God gives 5 talents to one man, 2 talents to another, and 1 talent to another. The guy takes 5 talents that God gives him and he goes, wow, Lord, I received something that isn't mine. It was given to me. This isn't because of me. This isn't because of my abilities. This isn't because of my skill. This is because God gave me something. And you know what, Lord? I appreciate what you gave me and I love you. So I'm going to take those 5 talents and I'm going to multiply those and I'm going to get 5 more of those. And then when you come back, you've read the story, Matthew chapter 25. When you come back, I'm going to give you your 5 back and I'm going to say, check this out. Look what I did. 5 extra ones. Well, that makes him happy. Another man, God gives 2 talents. Well, I don't have as much as brother so-and-so. You don't have any charity either. Charity envieth not. Brother so-and-so has 5, but God gave me 2. And you know what? Wow, look at my 2. Well, I can't preach. I can't teach. Yeah, but you know what? I know, but you're real good with your hands. You're a great mechanic. But you know what? You can get out there and I just like mowing grass. You're crazy. But there's a lot of other guys that don't feel that way and you like it. So praise the Lord you like it and you can wave at traffic while you're cutting grass with a smile on your face. And they're like, wow, that must be some weird place because those people are happily out there working. Amen. And that's your 2. You know what you do with your 2? If you're wise, you take it and you double your 2 and you bring twice as much back to the Lord. There's a 3rd guy that got 1. And he said, I know this. I know that if I go and I work hard and I go through all that sweat and all that labor and I do all these things to try to double my abilities that were given to me, when he comes back, he's going to take not only the one he already gave me, but he's going to take the ones I earned for myself. So I'm going to bury my talent in the sand. When he comes back, I'll give him what's his. That's 99% of the born-again Christians on this planet. They get saved and that's enough. They never discover their spiritual gift. They never multiply what they are. They never work hard at it. So there's an element of your gift that was just dropped in your lap when you got saved, and that was God's goodness. But you know what you do if you're a wise steward? You take what God gave you and you say, all right, it's time to get to work. In my particular life, I went to Bible school. I started practicing preaching in the mirror, just like my preacher told me to do. Boy, did I feel like an idiot. But I did it. Started practicing in the rearview mirror while I'm driving, listening to preaching, reading books on preparation and delivery. Practice, practice, practice. Take every opportunity I got, a jail, a nursing home, a street corner, anything I could, and work hard and critique myself. You realize 9 times out of 10 when me or any other guy gets done preaching, he leaves this place sick at his stomach. Like, man, I did a horrible job and I could have done that better and that better and that better and that better. You know what you're doing? You're taking those talents that God's given you and you're saying, Lord God, please help me double, triple, quadruple what you give me. So when you come back, I can give you not only what you gave me, but I can give you more back. And you know what that does? That pleases the Lord. So yes, there's an element of our gift that is just dropped in our lap. You received it at the point of salvation. But there's also an element of your gift and the blessing of God on it that comes from your willingness to work hard at doubling and tripling what God gave you. You know what our problem in our society is? We just don't have a lot of people that know how to work hard for money, let alone for God. We need some people that'll work at their gift, that'll work at their talent, that'll say, listen, I know that this is not going to benefit me anyway. I know that what I do is going to be for everybody else. I know that I might not even get recognized for what I'm doing, but God gave it to me, I'm going to double it and give it back to Him. That's the right motive. You see, spiritual gifts are all about everybody else. Paul said, I would that ye prophesied, because he that prophesieth edifieth the church. Now, let's look at tongues in verse number 6. He says, now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you? Except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine. And even things without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp. Except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall all speak into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian. And he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Skip down to verse 17. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit and I will sing with the understanding also. Else when thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks? Seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest. For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. Now, that was a lot of reading, but let's go back here and kind of dissect what is said. I want you to understand why we don't speak in tongues. How many of you have ever run into somebody who has the gift of tongues? Let me see your hand. They say, look, all over the room. Yeah, I got the gift of tongues. Have you ever found yourself in a very frustrating position? Because what they do is they say, I got the gift and I've done it. And look at the scriptures and they show you in the Bible. And then your answer for them is kind of like, yeah, I know that's not legit anymore. I realize that used to be, and it's because the Bible wasn't written yet. And they say, okay, show me. And so then what you do is you go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and you say, well, we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. So that's talking about the Bible. When anybody that can read and is honest recognizes that that's not talking about the Bible, that's talking about seeing Jesus Christ face to face, because he says that in the passage. So we try to make 1 Corinthians 13 mean the Bible, and it doesn't mean the Bible. So then we got one little shot at them, and it's a decent shot. It says that, you know, these things are going to vanish away, but now abide is faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. You say, see, that which is in part shall be done away, tongues are going to cease, prophesying is going to cease, see that verse, and they say, well, yeah, they're going to, but they haven't yet. And you know what you do? You start into the circular argument and the circular reasoning. And you just start chasing, like the dog chasing its tail. And you wind up getting mad at each other. You know what the problem is? The problem is now this isn't to take a shot at everybody on the planet, but in all honesty, this stuff hasn't been taught clearly enough and well enough because the answers are all in the Bible and it's real plain. It's real easy. But it just hasn't been taught well enough. So what my goal today is going to be to help you clearly understand why we don't speak in tongues. First of all, you've never heard me say you're not allowed to speak in tongues in this church. Have I said that? I always say if somebody speaks in tongues in this church, we're going to have a blast. Have I said that? Yeah, I have. Because we're going to have fun with it. Because we know what the Bible teaches about it. Paul said forbid not to speak in tongues. All right, I got it. Now let me make a shock statement, and I want you to stay with me. Don't shut down once you hear my statement. Once I'm done explaining it, you'll say, okay, I get that. I think I witnessed somebody speaking in tongues, personally. And he talked in English the whole time. I'll come back to that later, but I think I've seen it. So I don't forbid. But that's one time in my entire life, and I'll explain it to you in a little bit. You're looking at me like, I knew something was wrong, I just didn't know what it was. Stay with me, alright? Now watch, what are tongues and how are they to work? First of all, tongues are to be used in a common sense way. Well, how do you like that? The Bible is supposed to make sense, folks. Amen? We're not like, I'm a Bible believer, I'm a man of faith, therefore I'm an idiot. I really resent people treating us like that, too. I've seen an article somebody posted on Facebook from the Huffington Post of some idiot who went on there and, six things Christians need to stop saying. And then he went through and made this stupid argument. He must be bored. If they did the same thing to Muslims or to JWs or to anybody else, Buddhists, man, there would be an absolute war going on. Somebody would be getting sued. Somebody would be going to jail for hate speech. But they're allowed to do it about Bible-believing Christians. And he was going after fundamental Bible-believing Christians. You know, I resent some uneducated idiot treating us like we're stupid because we believe the Bible. Amen? The Bible does make good common sense. So tongues are supposed to make sense. Watch Paul as he makes common sense with them. Now, brethren, if I come to you, verse 6, speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you? Except I speak to you by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine. Now, if I give you some knowledge, if I give you some doctrine, you're going to get helped. You're going to be edified. What good is it going to do you if I get up here and start, you know, yabba-cadabbering? You guys ever watch them? Just YouTube speaking in tongues. You want to laugh? I'm not kidding you, man. I mean, it's a good laugh. I almost asked Pastor Chad to set up the projector to show you an NBC study that a doctor did on speaking in tongues. And when you're using your normal language and you're speaking in a language, there's a part of your brain that is engaged. There's a lobe in your brain that actually is engaged as you speak. And literally, when somebody is speaking in tongues, that part of their brain is disengaged. They say it's like sleeping. It's not working. They say that they're being overtaken and that this is just happening to them and that it really wasn't them. And in all reality, it wasn't their brain, that's for sure. That's what the scientific study proved. It wasn't the brain. I'm going to show you that that's not Bible. I then go on and watch a lot of women that are speaking in tongues. I'm going to show you that ain't Bible. So what's going on here? Paul says, look, it doesn't make any sense. What are you profited if I come in speaking in tongues? Even things without life giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction on the sounds, how shall they know what is piped or harped? When Miss Barbara sits down and plays this beautiful piano, you guys walk in and you hear her playing, you know, nothing but the blood. And you know what you'll do even if no words are being sung? You'll start singing, nothing but the blood of Jesus, what can make me... And this is something without life. It's dead. But there's a distinction when she plays. It's my turn to play. Unless I can do it. Try to mimic Michael Stevens. Anybody get edified? There's no distinction in the sound when Pastor Mike plays. And he said, if there's no distinction in the sound, what good's it doing? That was useless other than an illustration. If you walked in someday and I was just in here by myself, just playing away, you'd be like, what in the world happened? Pastor lost his mind. Somebody call a psychologist, please. Because there's no distinction. Right? When I get up and preach, you know what I do? I make sense out of my words with, hopefully, I try. I speak in the language you understand because there's a distinction to that sound and you can get something from it. If you walk in here on a Sunday and I start, you'd be like, okay, he's having a fit and I'm glad he's having fun, but what in the world did that do for me? Zero. So first of all, the way tongues are practiced today makes absolutely no sense. And according to the text, he says, what you should do, you need to seek to do, excel in a way that will edify everybody else. So it just doesn't make sense. So I'm against that. Second of all, I'm against any speaking in tongues where it's not interpreted. Look at verse 13. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. So when you speak in an unknown tongue, what has to happen is somebody has got to turn around and say, okay, what he just said was X, Y, and Z, and what was being taught there is that's Bible, and you can say, okay, that's what was being said. We know that's Bible, so we know that that really may have been the Holy Spirit. There has to be an interpretation of the tongue, or it's not biblical. You know what they do? They jump up in church, they start gyrating and flopping all over, literally in some of the churches. And look, there's some decent people in there, so don't be like, you shouldn't talk about other people's religion. Look, I'm talking about Bible doctrine versus false doctrine, okay? I'm not attacking people, all right? I want everybody to understand that. Somebody inevitably always feels like I'm being mean towards everybody else. I'm not. I'm just telling you the truth. You know what they literally have to do? They literally chase the women around with blankets. And they throw the blankets over them. Because they're flopping around on the floor and it's grossly immodest. You think that's the Holy Spirit of God getting a lady to do that? There ain't a chance in the world. Not a chance in the world. And they're just completely out of control. It's utter chaos. This stuff ain't right. So somebody has to interpret. Look at verse 27. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be, any man speak, first of all, let it be by two, or at the most by three. And that by course, and let one interpret. So if we're going to speak in tongues scripturally, one person goes, that person stops. The next person goes, that by course. At the most, a third guy can get up and say something. And somebody has to be there saying, okay, here's what was just said. Here's what was just said. Here's what was just said. All right? So that's Paul's rules for speaking in tongues. Not only does it have to have common sense, it also has to have a correct interpretation. It has to be by course. And it has to be, look at verse 26. How is it, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done to edifying. Skip down to verse 28. But there is, if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church. Let him speak to himself and to God. You got the gift of tongues? Great. Go home and just knock yourself out. Amen. Go home and knock yourself out. I mean, have a blast. Flop around on the floor. I'm serious. I had a guy who was coming to our church for a while, and he had the gift of speaking in tongues. And he knew it. And I said, if I can prove to you from the Bible that it's not legit, will you change? Will you reject your experience and say, I know what happened to me, but it had to be an evil spirit or something else. It couldn't have been God if I can prove to you from the Bible. He said, prove it to me from the Bible. I proved it to him from the Bible, and it didn't work. He didn't repent. You know what he did? He said, man, it just happened to me yesterday. He was a stay-at-home dad while his wife worked. And I'll just leave it at that. And he wanted to have play dates with all the women in the church. Right. Right. I'm going to work and I'll give you my wife's phone number and you just come over and hang out with my wife on play date for the kid. Are you nuts? First of all, something wrong right there. Not happening. By the way, he was a convicted felon and had done time in prison. And he let me know that before he asked for play dates with all the ladies in the church. Are you kidding me? Something's really wrong with this picture. So he says he's vacuuming at home, and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost came over him. And he fell down on the floor and started weeping and speaking in tongues and praying to God. And just, and he's just wailing there on the floor and crying and couldn't control himself. And his children are like, "Daddy, what's wrong? What's wrong?" Kids are smarter than Dad was. He says, "I know what happened to me." I said, "What happened to you wasn't Bible. So it couldn't have been the Lord." You know what the result was? "I'm going to beat you up." He got so mad he threatened to beat me up. Look, if it doesn't fit with the Bible, it ain't right. Look, if you want to go home and knock yourself out, fine. I told him, I said, "Fine, go home and pray in tongues. I don't care. Speak in tongues all over your house. I don't care. And come to our church, sure. But don't do it in church. Because you don't got it right and you don't understand it, and we're not going the way you go. We're not doing it." "Well, I don't, why would you try to keep somebody's gift?" Because your gift ain't from God, because it ain't matching up with the Bible. He had no interpreter. You want to go home and do it? Knock yourself out. And Paul said, "Sure, go ahead and speak between you and the Lord." But in verse number 28, there has to be an interpreter. And if there's no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. Let the prophet speak two or three and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let him hold his peace. For ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. Look at verse number 32. The spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. You realize that? In other words, if you're truly a prophet of God, your spirit is under control. "Oh, something just came over me and I don't know what was happening." And scientific studies prove that the brain is not engaged with the communication coming out the mouth. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that if you're really being controlled by God, the spirit of that prophet is subject to that prophet. In other words, if you are a man of God, if you are a woman of God, you are in control of your spirit. It's not in control of you. Does that make sense? "Something just came over me." Well, it wasn't the Lord then. "I know it wasn't me. It wasn't me. I was completely out of control and the words were just flowing out of my mouth." All right, God said your spirit is subject to you. So if God's in control, God's got control of you, got control of your flesh, and you allow God to lead it, and you control your spirit, you stay under control. When they lose control, it's not God. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. So look at verse number 19 to make another good point. I start with verse 18. Paul said this, "I thank my God I speak with tongues more than ye all." He said, "I am thankful that I am more prolific in the gift of tongues than any of you." Now watch verse 19. "Yet what? In the church, I'd rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue." Now hold on a minute. That told you that if you have the gift of tongues, here's how we do it. We're looking at that throughout the text. But he says, in the church, I'd rather you speak clearly five words. "I love the Lord Jesus Christ. I love the Lord. I love the Lord." That's better than speaking in tongues for an hour. Why is it everybody speaks in tongues in church? Obviously, they're not meant for being in church. You know what they are meant for? Let's go to the text that they always use and that every charismatic is going to take you to. Go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter number 2. The day of Pentecost here is the one that everybody gets obsessed with. They're all stuck on this passage. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire." It didn't say cloven tongues of fire, it said like as of fire. "And it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes, Elamites, and dwellers in Mesopotamia, and in Judea, and Cappadocia, and Pontus, and in Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, and Egypt, and in the parts of Libya, about Cyrene, and the strangers of Rome, and Jews, and proselytes, Cretes, and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. This is the first time speaking in tongues shows up. And you know what happened is this. The apostles are standing there and they're preaching. And there's a whole mix, a racially very mixed crowd there. And the apostles are preaching in their language. And as they're preaching in their language, this person's sitting over here and hearing in Cretan. This person's sitting over here and hearing in Arabian. And that person over there is hearing in Italian. And that person over there is hearing in French. But I'm preaching in English. And the Holy Spirit was interpreting between the man's mouth and the hearer's ears. They're sitting there going, I don't even speak this guy's language, but I understood every word of what he said about the Lord Jesus Christ. I understood every word of what he said about what I need to do. How is this even possible? And they're all looking around at each other like, what in the world is going on? The guy wasn't up there jibber-jabbering and going crazy in his mind and in his mouth. He was preaching in the language he spoke in, and they were hearing in their own languages. You get that? They didn't have Bibles printed in their own language, and the Holy Spirit was working a miracle so that they would recognize, wow, those guys are the true followers of Jesus Christ, and the miracles Jesus did are with them, and man, this has got to be it. Now, I told you earlier, I think I witnessed somebody speaking in tongues. Right? I was in a jail cell block, and we had about 30 guys in there. And I wasn't preaching, I was just there. I was in my, probably my late 20s, and my buddy was in his mid 20s, and he was preaching. And he preached in English. And there was a couple of Mexican guys sitting there, and one of them spoke very little broken English. It was very difficult to understand him. The other one spoke just about no English. And afterward, they came up to me, and the guy with very broken English said, he, as Jesus saved him. However he spoke it, I'm not copying his accent very well. And I said, what? I said, does he speak English? He said, no English. And he says, and I said, you got saved? I said, today? He said, during service, Jesus come in my heart. I said, and he said, no English, no English. I went over to my friend, I said, I think, and I'm not going to run out of here dogmatically saying it, but I think there was a Mexican guy sitting there that spoke Spanish that God brought probably all the way to Bowling Green, Ohio, and set up his circumstance, and he was in jail here. And I think the Holy Spirit showed him enough of what you were saying to where he got saved, because that guy's heart may truly be seeking the Lord. And he's had no other chance to hear. He was like, well, that would match, wouldn't it? I said, yeah, it would match the scriptures. I said, yeah, it would be a little bit of a miracle, man. I mean, that's kind of crazy, but who knows the hearts but God? And God's perfectly capable of giving him enough understanding to where he said he got saved, man. He had stinking tears in his eyes. It's possible. I'm not standing here saying, you know, it happened. I'm saying it's real possible, and I think it did. Folks, that would fit. The point is this, tongues are not for in the church. When God gave the gift of tongues, it was so that Christians could go out and witness to people in their own language. I don't know the language. I don't have a Bible written in their language, but I can go preach Christ to them in their language and they can get saved. That was the gift. Nowadays, do you realize that there's Bibles printed in almost every language that there is? And if they find a language where they don't have a Bible, they print a Bible in their language. That thing is gone. The Bible said tongues will cease. Why did God give this gift? Let's look at just a couple more verses here and we'll be done. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. While you're turning there, I'm going to read you an interesting verse. Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You've heard this one, right? For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Here's the interesting part. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Isn't that a weird way of putting it? Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. To the Jew first. And also to the Greek. You guys ever read through the book of Acts and find how begrudging the disciples were about preaching the gospel to the Gentiles? You ever read through there and seen how Paul got into all kind of fights with Peter and all them other guys about the Gentiles this and the Gentiles that? And they didn't until Acts 15 go, yeah, I guess they received the Holy Spirit just like we do. You ever wonder why that was going on? You realize Jesus Christ gave his gifts and his sign gifts to the apostles. Remember that? And he said, these signs are going to follow you. Why? Because Christ sent them first to Israel. People don't understand that. They read through the book of Acts, they read through the Gospels, and they don't understand that. Initially, the first initial thrust of the gospel message was Jerusalem, Judea. It was to the Jews first. You know what the Jews did again in the book of Acts? Rejected Jesus Christ again. And about Acts chapter number 7, when they stoned Peter, that's when the Holy Spirit took a turn and started heading out to you and I, the Gentiles. Now look at 1 Corinthians 1:22. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. You know why God gave them the sign gifts of healing, speaking in tongues, and all that other stuff? Because God was sending them first to the Jews so the Jews could go, wow, look at these miracles. How had God always dealt with them? Moses, take your rod, go down in there, drop it, it'll turn into a snake, grab the tail, it'll turn back into a rod. God always gave the Jews a miracle. You know what the Greeks want? You know what you want? You kids need to go to college. You need to get a degree. You seek after wisdom. You know what God gave you and I? A book. You know, he knows about the Gentiles. He knows the Gentiles will open up that book and they'll pray and they'll read and they'll study and they'll study and they'll study and they'll study. You know what that Jew does? He says, prove it. They're skeptics. Prove it. Prove it. You know why God gave them the gift of tongues and the gift of healing and all that other stuff? So the Jews could see that they had just crucified their Messiah. And when the Jews rejected those miraculous gifts, God shut those gifts off. Now abide of faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. God has shut off those sign gifts, folks. We don't use them anymore because, number one, we got Bibles printed in their languages. We have a universal language of the end times, which is English. And guess what? The miracle works gifts don't work anyhow. They don't work. The Jews rejected again, didn't they? Didn't they crucify Jesus Christ even though he walked on water, turned the water into wine, healed the sick, raised the dead? They still crucified him. So the miracle gifts don't get the job done. You know what gets the job done? What gets the job done is somebody that's got a little Christian charity in their heart that can show Jesus Christ to a lost and a dying world. What gets the job done is when men walk into a church and they say, man, the spirit of this place is different than anything I've ever seen in my life. That gets the job done. That's what the church should be focusing on. That's my last point. Look at verse 32 in 1 Corinthians 14. The spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Verse 34, let your women keep silence in the churches. So you see these women jumping around and speaking in tongues and ain't fitting the scriptures. For it is not permitted for them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for the women to speak in the church. What? Came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. You get that, folks? He said, you think you're a prophet, you think you're spiritual, then recognize what I'm writing. Well, I know what happened to me. I don't care what happened to you. What's written? What's written? Study it out. The sign gifts are gone. Paul said, Trophimus have I left at Miletus sick. Why would Paul, the one who could heal people, leave a buddy of his sick? You know why? those gifts were fading away. And Paul couldn't even heal him anymore because God was done with those gifts because God had broken off that Jew because they had rejected again. Trophimus, have I left at my leader? Why, they don't see, how come they don't see that passage? Those things were tapering off. What's left with us? I'll tell you what's left with us, folks. This book in front of you. You know what's left with us? Faith. Faith. Hope. Oh, I'm glad I got hope. You know what else left with me? Charity. I want to be a charitable pastor. I do. I want to be a pastor who not just a, I don't want people to leave saying, wow, what a great preacher. I want them to leave saying, wow, what a great book. What I want people to say, I want them to say, you know, preacher, your preaching's changed. Praise the Lord. A lot of times they don't mean it like that. A lot of times they mean like, your preaching's changed. Yeah, I know. Well, that's good. Thank you. I hope it does. You know why? I want my profiting to appear to all. I want to grow. I want to be charitable. I don't want to be the pastor everybody's afraid of. I want to be the pastor that people can come to for prayer and for help. That gets the job done. He says in verse number 38, but if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Folks, listen. You lose your power when you get into pointless arguments with people. If they want to be ignorant, let them be ignorant. I give them one shot. If I can prove it to you from the Bible, will you reject what you've experienced? I always say yes. I show them. They don't reject it. I'm done. You want to be a fool? Be a fool. There's somebody in here last week just going at me in the back corner. I got a question for you. Is this church a nonprofit corporation with the state of Michigan? Yeah. How can God get the preeminence if the state owns the church? The state doesn't own the church. What are you talking about, man? And you know what happened? I started just trying this a little bit to show them Romans 13. And the Bible says you're to be subject to the ordinances. And we're not against the government here. Are you crazy? They don't come in here and tell us what we can and can't preach. Are you nuts? That's not my battle. Amen. Well, you know what? When that thing starts turning into circular reasoning and circular arguing, you know what I did? I just ended the conversation. Of course, nicely. Ended the conversation. Ah, you know you're wrong. Walk away. Why? Let them be ignorant. You know what? It's not about you beating somebody else in an argument. If you can show them the truth, show them. If you can't show them, let them go. Amen. You know that'll help you at your family get-togethers next Christmas? That'd help you. I'm serious. That'd help you. You always want to preach at them and cram it down their throat. And I'm all for preaching. But sometimes it's better just to love them. Sometimes it's better when they start, like, you know that's stupid, and you know that, and you go to that crazy Bible thumping church, and just let's let it go. Your pastor's a nut. That's what he says himself. Don't fight with them about me. I'm serious. Don't fight with them about me. Charity never faileth. I hope some of you get some gifts. I hope you recognize what they are. Last thing he says, wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, forbid not to speak with tongues. Amen. We're going to have fun if they come in and start that up on us. There was somebody here a couple weeks ago and I mentioned tongues, and they said that, reported later that they told the people that brought them they had the gift of tongues, and when I started mentioning it, I started shaking. Oh, I don't know what that is. Well, I don't understand. I don't know. Conviction? I don't know. Well, look, if somebody ever comes in here and starts that thing up, we know how to handle it. We know what the Bible teaches. It's forbidden not to speak with tongues. All right, knock yourself out. But let all things be done decently and in order. You know what I appreciate about BBC? We're not going to have an invitation this morning. You know what I appreciate about this church? So far, God's allowed us to be decent and in order. I like it. Things run pretty smooth. It's a pretty good spirit about it. I just have not been in a position where I'm harping on people about cleaning the church and mowing the grass and things get done. Things get done. Folks, that's a spirit that God will bless. You got some spiritual gifts? You want to plug in? Quite a few people say that to me lately. I want to do something for the Lord. I want to do something. That's great, but I'm more concerned before you go doing something, before you jump on board and start getting involved, I'm more concerned you understand the spirit of what we do and why we do it. It's a spirit of submission. It's a spirit of help. And it's a spirit that gives the glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, He's the reason we're here this morning. I hope I can be a blessing to you. I want to be a blessing to you. I pray that I'm a blessing to you. But so much more powerful than me being a blessing to you is if you're a blessing to each other. Be a blessing to other people. That's what your spiritual gifts are for. Let's stand to our feet. We'll go ahead and be dismissed. I'm not giving an invitation this morning. I do believe in them. Sometimes I just don't feel like it fits, so I'm not going to make it fit. But I do want you to learn to answer the altar call if the Lord's dealing with your heart. I've never been the guy that answered it myself every week. But when I felt like the Lord was dealing with my heart, I did business before I left between me and the Lord. And I think that's very important, but it's not a tradition. It's not something we have to do. I just don't feel led to give one today. So let's go ahead and be dismissed in a word of prayer. And stick around for lunch if you can this afternoon.